Let the one who has love in Christ fulfill the commandments of Christ. Now, what are the commandments of Christ? There's a lot of commandments of Christ. He tells us to do a lot of stuff. Do this, don't do that. You know, you got the whole Sermon on the Mount. How many? He makes a lot of commandments. So what does he mean, fulfill the commandments of Christ? Well, there's two big ones. The two big ones occur when he's asked, what are the greatest commandments? And he cites two commandments from the Torah. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So these are the commandments of Christ, the two big commandments. So you notice they're not his original. They are the commandments of the Torah. But they're the two commandments that he said all the Torah and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Who can describe the bond of God's love? You're supposed to love God. You're supposed to love your fellow, love your neighbor. Who is able to explain the majesty of the beauty of God's love? The height to which love leads is indescribable. Love unites us with God. Love covers a multitude of sins. Which is a quotation from Peter, who's drawing that from the Proverbs. I love that verse. Love covers a multitude of sins. This is a big part of, you know, how do we love one another? How do we, you know, love one another? This is really a big part of loving someone, is looking away from their imperfections, right? I mean, think about it. I'll give you an example. There's a story. Noah gets all drunk and naked in his tent, right? And he's laying all passed out. His son, Ham, comes in and sees him and points him out to his brothers. Hey, look at Dad. His two brothers, however, Shem and Japheth, they don't look on their father's shame. Instead, they take a blanket and walk backwards into the tent and lay it over their father. So, thereby covering his indiscretion and his sin. This is a great story. I don't know if you've ever thought about this story. But this is really the essence of what love is to be able to, you know, because oftentimes people think, you know, maybe especially husbands and wives, think that their mission in life is to fix the other spouse. You know, like, I need to fix you. No. Love covers a multitude of sins. So Lashon Hara, you can see Lashon Hara is the opposite of love. Criticism of someone is the opposite of love, right? This starts to sound a lot like 1 Corinthians 13, this chapter. This is such a beautiful chapter. I call this Clement's love chapter. And remember, just two chapters ago, he referred to the epistle of 1 Corinthians. So he's clearly riffing on it. You can bet the believers in Corinth know that chapter by heart. They know it. They're proud of it. It's like the most famous passage, the most famous chapter in the epistles of the New Testament, and it was written to them. Yeah. They have a lot to be proud of there, and so Clement's using that to his advantage. He writes, love endures all things, is patient in all things. This is just like 1 Corinthians 13. He says, there is nothing coarse, nothing arrogant in love, just like 1 Corinthians 13. Love knows nothing of schisms. Love leads no rebellions. Love does everything in harmony. So now the gloves come off, and you see where he was going with this love talk. In love, all the elect of God were made perfect. Without love, nothing is pleasing to God. Remember how Paul begins that passage? He says, even if I can speak in the tongue of angels and the tongue of men, even if I know all wisdom and perceive all mysticism, you know, even if I have acquired all this and I have all the mitzvahs, even, he says, even if I have, yet I don't have love, then I'm nothing. Then it's empty, right? So, same thing here is, in this conflict, clearly this conflict in Corinth, there's a lack of love. Love has been breached. In love, the Master received us. Okay, we have to read that as, in love, Hashem received us. Because of the love He had for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in accordance with God's will, gave His blood for us, His flesh for our flesh, His life for our lives. You see, dear friends, how great and wonderful love is. Its perfection is beyond description. When he says how great and wonderful love is, I can't help but compare this to a series of teachings in the Talmud. I believe we find them in Tractate Yoma, which is the Yom Kippur tractate. I'm pretty sure there. It might even be the last chapter of Tractate Yoma. It's a chapter that's called the Chapter of Repentance, and it begins with that statement: how great is repentance? How great is tshuva? And then it continues. Each sage brings an example of how great repentance is, the greatness of repentance. And so this particular chapter seems very similar. Like it's like along the same lines, only it's saying how great is love. Let me tell you how great love is. He says, who is worthy to be found in it, to be found in love, except those whom God considers worthy? Let us therefore ask and petition His mercy that we may be found blameless in love, standing apart from the factiousness of men. You understand factiousness? It's, dissensions, the quarrelings of men. This is a pretty good sentiment, though. He says, let us therefore ask and petition God to be merciful to us in His mercy so that we may be found blameless in love. So we ask God for a lot of things, but I don't know if we've ever asked for this, if this is on your prayer list. You know, Hashem, may I be blameless in love. You know, that's probably not on the prayer list, but wow, what a beautiful idea. To try to nurture that, to try to cultivate that, that I'm going to be a person of love. I like that. I think we could work with that. I think that's a worthy goal. You know, it's like I have this book that made a big impact on me, not big enough, but. It's the Chofetz Chaim's book on the laws of proper speech. It's a beautiful book, you know. Made a big impact on me. And Art Scroll puts out a version of it. I can't remember what the Art Scroll version is called, but they put out a daily devotional version of it where it's like 150, it breaks it up into 150 lessons. 150. And each one is about a page. They're like a little devotional. And then next to it is another page with some practical sort of teachings from this on the same subject. You go through these one day at a time, and you learn a law a day, and then you have a practical example. Sort of thing. It's really fabulous. It's really a fabulous piece of work.
I think I just want to share this. Mm-hmm. To express love in those terms, because I think there's so much rhetoric, literature, bad examples of what love really is or how it should be treated.
Oh, yeah.
I find it really difficult because everyone, if they do this, here's a discipline for that, if they do that, there's a discipline for that. And it's like everything but love. And it's very problematic in my life, I think in the culture, American culture. I'm just
I think it's difficult too. I think people are baffled by the New Testament's love talk. I think we always have been. I don't think it's new to our culture. I think it's always been baffling. It's like, okay, what does that mean? And I think that I think it's abused. I think it's terribly abused. And people will abuse it. It's, you know, people who abuse and take advantage, they know, you know, that they, if they get around Christians, it's like, you have to treat me with love, you know. And you know, but when you study it out from the words of Jesus and from the apostles, it's not a blank check for that says, please abuse me and walk over me. It's, in fact, I don't think that the apostles, Jesus and the apostles, have the same idea in their head when they say love as we have.
I don't think so
either. And
Clement wouldn't be writing 90% of what he's got in here if he was exhibiting the type of love I've been taught, like Christian love.
That's why
doormat and smile and I love you in spite of your sin. Come on in. Rip me off. Break my stuff. Cuss me out. And then leave and I'll take you back next time because I love you.
Well, so, you know, it's I think it's a worthy subject that, and I think the Chofetz Chaim needs to come and write us a book on love, you know.
We have a vast many who I love this and I love that. And that word is just...
Oh, yeah, we use the word too much, for sure. But you know what? Hebrew works the same way. You have one word for love, and it gets used in all sorts of different applications. It's romantic love between a man and a woman, love for God, love for neighbor.
What kind of love is this love?
Well, we're talking about the commandments of Christ. Love for God and love for neighbor, love for your fellow. That's what's in view here.
So could it be that love for your neighbor,
yeah, well, there's quite a bit to learn there, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this love.
No.
Another time. We'll all just continue to think about it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know,
this
it's...
my life.
Look, let me go back to the very practical example to start with. Because like a Torah-based love is very specific. The laws of proper speech are an act of love. To treat one another with the laws of proper speech. To not speak about people behind their back, even when you could. You know, even when there's something really delicious that you could say.
Or you could get a really good laugh.
Right. Something entertaining. An amusing anecdote. I mean, this is a practical example. It's, you know, and so I think if we were to nail down and drill down and say, what is love from an apostolic and biblical perspective, we would find that it has very little to do with how you feel and everything to do with how you behave towards people. So
nice.
Okay.
That's very